GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
We have James Horne with us, and in a few moments Daryl Kanaja will be with us as well. James, thanks for joining us. A quick verdict on the Super 8s first. I was doing a, admittedly not scientific, but straw poll in the office, and I said, right, who can remember the good games? And I threw out Dublin and Omagh, Kildare against Galway, Kerry against Monaghan, I guess, for the finish. That was in weekend two. And from weekend one in Croker, there wasn't much. That was the World Cup final weekend. And weekend three was mostly duds, really. And then, I guess, kind of Donegal, Tyrone to a point. So how do we assess the Super 8s without being too wise after the event? Because I think everybody was looking forward to them, in fairness.
Yeah, look, I think there's definitely something there. You know, there's a few unique scenarios thrown up, different sort of permutations for teams and managers and supporters. You have to think your way through it a little bit with some of the outcomes that could possibly happen based on results. And it was new, and you know, there was the Dublin home games and the first games in Croker. So there was a lot. There was some that was good, I thought. Some of the games were decent. But I think it's worth sticking with. It's version 1.0. You know, you need to get a better version out there, I would say. And I think next year, with some tweaking around the edges, that, you know, it may improve. So I think overall it was decent. I think it was a step that was needed. You know, but I think when you take, I think the provisional champions need to possibly get their home game or their first game at home, or certainly the first games out of Croke Park. You know, get them to the provincial area so that you can get the crowd like we saw up in Omagh. You know, that gets the whole town going, they get the buzz about the place, it gets a bit of excitement going. So I think there's the potential that Super 8s can do that, and that's what we need. We don't want quiet games where you can hear players shouting in Croke Park. Mm. You know, you need to get it out around the counties and get the people involved in it.
So that will go down as a lukewarm thumbs up from James Horne. I mean, there was some euphemisms in there and some trying. Dara, did the Super 8s rock your world?
Again, a hesitant thumbs up. And again, we need a three-year perspective, not just a one-year thing. I think everybody's singing off the same hymn sheet when it comes to the opening weekend, being in provincial towns, being in provincial grounds. It just, Croke Park did not work on the opening weekend. I think that's unanimous across the board. Mm. So I had some great occasions and sense of occasions in Clonus. I was in Ballybofey the last day. There was a good atmosphere around the town beforehand and after. Nice compact ground and a decent game as well. But other than that, it's going to have to be a three-year trial, really, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, Dara, long-term, we're just going to have to look at the way the hurling works so well and pretty much every competition in world sport, whereby you try and do the group stages earlier on, and then what you want at this time of the year is the thrill and just the agony and ecstasy of knockout championship, which is what the hurling has had for the last few weeks.
The no safety net element, the do or die element, that's there.
Dara, you're gone. Line gone. We'll get back on to you in a sec. James, I'd put that one to you.
Yeah, I think so. You know, if you look at the last couple of weekends of hurling that we've had, the games have been absolutely amazing. You know, for excitement, for engagement of the crowd, and that's ultimately what spectators want and players want to be involved in those type of games. You know, with that excitement level. So, yeah, you know, there is something. Should the Super 8s be a little bit earlier to provide that type of scenario? So, we just hope, I suppose, that next weekend with the two All Ireland football semi-finals that we get cracking games, and I think we have the potential for that. You know, so a couple of, you know, two good semi-finals and a great final is I suppose what we're looking for. You know, to add to the football excitement.
I guess the net result, as well as the progression of Dublin and Galway and Monaghan and Tyrone from the weekend, is that Eamon Fitzmaurice is stepping down. James, the most common line I've heard people use with Fitzmaurice is that history is going to judge him pretty well. The main critiques I've seen, you know, wishy-washy enough at times. Stuff like not being brilliant on the sideline has been levelled at him at times, and maybe not sticking to a game plan. Although, look, if things were going great, you'd say the ability to change up the game plan is a very admirable thing in a manager. Talk to us about Fitzmaurice and his tenure, how you rated him as a manager, what were the weaknesses, how will history judge him?
Yeah, I suppose firstly, I think Eamon Fitzmaurice, you know, he's a guy that's a manager. So I think as a fella, I think the way he conducts himself, the way he holds himself, whether win, lose or draw, how dignified he was, I think is very becoming, you know, is very appropriate. I thought he conducted himself excellently. I think, you know, for me, when you hear a manager, you know, when Derek McGrath, I heard the interview played again last night, the one thing that I always look out for is, what do the players think? What do the players say? Or when a manager goes, how is he seen by the people, I suppose, the most important people, which is the players that he's dealing with, on a day-to-day basis over a six-year period now at this stage. So, and I think to a man, they appreciate, I suppose, how he's worked with them, and I suppose the way he's treated them, and, you know, I suppose facilitated a lot of those young players' development, how he's facilitated the transition from that older team, and how a lot of the, you know, the Paul Galvins and all these guys have moved on. So he's done a lot of very good work there, and, you know, even in David, you know, man of the match interview after the game the last day, you know, I thought he made a nice reference to him, and, you know, and that he was the man for the job. That was obviously before he had told the players, you know, so I just thought it was a nice endorsement, you know, from the greatest young player in the country at the moment. So overall, how he's seen, how he dealt with people, I think very, in a very respectful manner, very good. You know, in the 6 years, he won six Munsters, won in All-Ireland, you know, competed in the league strongly, try to change the way Kerry play in a lot of games, try to adapt, I think, you know, from game to game, you know, with sweepers in some games and not in other games, all-out attack in some games, not in other games. And I think that because there wasn't as much success as Kerry people liked, I think that changing of format, that changing of game, did frustrate people a little bit. And I think that's the noise. I was down in Clarendon on Saturday night, and I went downtown for lunch before the game, and the noise around Clarendon of what Eamon was going to do or not do, regardless of the outcome, was very heavy. So I think it's the right call by him, just where things were and the way he did and the time that is very important, because everyone can move on quickly now.
Yeah. To sum up his tenure, you mentioned the Munsters, so the All-Ireland in 14, and then it's just a run of semi-final defeats, really. Well, the All-Ireland final against Dublin in 15 in the rain, that wasn't a great game. They never really were in that game. And then semi-finals to Dublin in 16, and then Mayo after the replay last year. So that's the Fitzmaurice reign. I know Dara's back with us now. Dara, his press release almost caught the eye as much as the decision when he talked about the level of criticism, you know, he's the shoebox at home of anonymous letters to the house, which is a fairly grim thought, and talked about the air of negativity, which he hopes will go now and let the younger players in particular to benefit from. He said, I think the players as well will benefit from a change of voice. Like, how ugly was it getting in Kerry for Fitzmaurice?
I'm sure it was probably ugly enough to be bearing the brunt of those letters, those different devices and the noise. That's either Fitzmaurice would be very much independent in his own mind, and he would be able to shut out an awful lot of it. And I think as well as that, there was probably a realisation on his part that he had invested everything he possibly could in that six-year period, and probably asking himself at various stages during the year, well, if I am to continue into 2019, what possibly can I do differently, given the deck of cards that I have at my disposal?
Yeah.
I think those questions would have been asked this time last year after losing to Mayo, and he probably felt he and his management team could deliver something extra, and they would have tried those things this year. They would have brought on David Clifford straight out of minors. There was pressure this time last year to put Sean O'Shea into the same bracket, to introduce him immediately out of minor into senior, and I think it was the right decision to hold him back and, you know, to develop him gradually, as happens with Kilkelly hurling and all that. There is an ugliness there. There is an ugly side to the game at club level and at county level right across the country, and it's just got more intense in recent times, I suppose, with social media, different various forum like that. And, you know, I don't think it was the final defining element. It was just a factor, and it was something that I think he wanted to bring to light to say that this happens. There are real people here receiving these letters, having to read this nonsense. It happens in all sectors, I'm sure, of sport. But I suppose the difference being this is not a professional sport. People have their day jobs and people have their private lives. And, you know, it was just unfortunate that that element came to the fore. I think there was references made to what Paddy would have said 15, 16 years ago about Kerry supporters. I think Fitzmaurice himself would be the first to acknowledge that by and large, Kerry supporters are actually brilliant supporters. And when the need is greatest, as it was above in Clonus, they did rally. And in 2009 against Antrim and Tullamore, something similar. But that ugliness is there. And unfortunately, it does have a bigger platform than it would have maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
And how good a job do you think he was doing in, say, this season or last season? Obviously, there's credit in the bank when you win in All-Ireland. You've got to reshape things. You know, I've heard, you know, the sweeper against Galway versus Mark Griffin versus McManus up in Clonus as an example of how, well, he didn't really quite know where he was going or what he was trying to do. That would be the criticism leveled at him. How good a job do you think he had been doing over the last 18 months?
I think you can judge managers at any stage in any county, in any club, by are they maximising the resources available to them. And I think there was a turning up of the pressure because Kerry had won four All-Ireland minors in a row. Now, when Kerry weren't winning minors, there weren't too many people concerned in the county that the fact that they weren't winning minors, provided they take one or two players through every year to senior level from possibly under 21 level. I think that step up has become from nearly 23, 24 year old level now at this stage. So every year he did get the most out of his teams and his 30 players available to him. Mickey Hart, the last day, you know, in Ballybuffet, I was looking at the first half and I was saying, God, if Tyrone loses, even Mickey Hart might come in for some criticism here. And he divides opinion in Tyrone even at this stage. Sean Boylan was dividing opinion in Meath after 20, 23 years. You know, for the 6 years that Fitzmaurice was there, I do think that they got the best 30 players available to them. They coached them. Of course they made mistakes. I think they themselves would be the first to admit that. But, you know, managers are allowed to make mistakes. I think this level of scrutiny is gone beyond the beyonds at this stage. I've seen something today questioning Stephen Rochford's approach in Mayo. You just say, you know, it's not an easy gig. It's not an easy gig. And I, you know, they did the fact that it's a Kerry management and that they play a certain amount of higher profile games than other counties. They are going to get criticised. And they knew that. And that comes with the turf. But at the same time, you know, some of it was over the top. And when the tide turns against you in a county like Kerry, you can sense it. You can sense it on the terraces. The most disappointing aspect last Saturday for me, being in Killarney, was watching people at 50, 51, 52, 53 minutes, leaving in quite considerable amounts and having a talent like David Clifford on the field working his magic. You know, real supporters would stay to the end, but and many Kerry supporters did, in fairness.
That was bizarre behaviour, really. Like, I mean, quick memo, like, you're not going to be seeing much football for a while. You might as well enjoy this while you can.
Absolutely.
Like, and even just, it's just really poor form, really.
I think it was one of the ironies was the last...
Pity line went. We'll get Dara back up again. James, I did want to ask you before we get off Fitzmaurice and talk about some of the football. A serious question. Did you get hate mail? Did you get it from Mayo fans?
Yeah, absolutely. Considerable amounts.
What's a considerable amount?
Well, you know, after defeats, obviously, there's and particularly in championships, it can be very raw for some people. It can be something related to even players from certain clubs that aren't playing, and there's a club member that's disgruntled as a result. So, you know, I think what Darrell was saying there as well, with the forums and social media and everything that's there, it's so easy, and it can be, you know, get messages across or get your point across, but you know, it's a different sort of level when it's someone sits down and
writes it with a pen,
writes a letter and can write some very, very harsh stuff in there. So yeah, it is something that impacts you for sure. You know, particularly in Eamon's case as well, your family, young family, and all that kind of stuff.
And sorry to interrupt. Would you read it? You get some letters in the post. Again, I'm curious to know how many we're talking. Are we talking 10 a year? Are we talking more than 10 a year? But when you get to the first line or two and you realise where this is going, would you keep reading it?
The first few, you would. You know, thinking back, and now you would. But you know, I got some of those. I got the police involved in some of those. You know, that's how brought to the attention of the guards and the appropriate authorities, because that's really what you need to do with some of those. You know,
because they were threatening.
So some of them would be really concerning. Without going into what they were, Joe, but some of them would be very concerning that you need to go to the appropriate authorities with it.
Mm. Well, that is a grim thought, isn't it? Okay, I can tell you're not too keen to talk about it, so I might brush off past it. Is that all right?
Okay.
So the other story of the weekend, and I suppose Monaghan and the pitch invasion and going to Galway and putting in a really good performance. So we've got Monaghan Tyrone in the semi-final. How's this one shaping up, Dara? And hopefully your line endures here.
Yeah, I suppose, look, Tyrone, and even speaking to their supporters after the game, the last they would fancy themselves in Croke Park against Monaghan. And there is, a small bit of retribution in question as well from earlier on this year. In the history of different games shows that once you get a second chance and once you get your teeth into them, and especially Tyrone, once they get a sense of a team again. But I think it's probably underestimating Monaghan. I do think the venue, Croke Park, would probably suit Tyrone a bit more historically against Monaghan as well. You have to be impressed by the way Tyrone finished the last day. There is a sense that they're arriving at their best formation, whether by design or otherwise. And, you know, it was a difference between the teams the last day as well, you know, what they were able to get from their bench in terms of just at critical times. But there is something different about Monaghan this year. They seem to be on a crest of a wave, and that beautiful pitch invasions, which we all love, there is a connection. We were talking about connections between supporters and their teams. There's a definite genuine connection between Monaghan and their team at the moment.
Yeah, James, they're both arriving into a semi-final feeling very good about life. What's your read on it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating one. I thought Monaghan against Galway, you know, I was wondering how they'd be after the, you know, the last minute goal against Kerry. Were they shook? Were they rattled? Were they thought their chance had sort of come and gone, you know, and going down to Galway, a form team. And they were superb down there. They were brave, they were courageous. There was a real enthusiasm about how they played, very smart. They knew what Galway were trying to do, and I just thought they were really good and really embraced the challenge that was there for them, you know, because they've had a few false dawns when it's come to the latter stage of the championships. But I just thought, wow, they were really mature, really strong, and did very well. So Monaghan are in a great place, but equally Tyrone, you know, you go back a few weeks to the ding-dong battle against Meath and how they've slowly and steadily just progressed like a machine, just getting stronger every single game that they're playing. And one thing that's standing out, even if you take the last 5 or 10 minutes against Dublin and the performance at the weekend, is their conditioning is at a level on a par with Dublin now, which is a huge thing. You know, it's an advantage Dublin have had over the majority of teams over the last few years. But I just think, you know, that Tyrone team, they're getting stronger and stronger as the games are going on. You know, and particularly, you know, that the last 15 or the last quarter of games, they're scoring heavy and doing a lot of damage. So I think they're in a great place as well. But these two teams know each other so well. Up in Croke Road, the semi-final, it's going to be a great battle, and one that's just so hard to call, really.
Yeah, that's the general sense. In the other semi-final, Dublin obviously had their game against Roscommon, which went as most people expected. The good news was seeing Bernard Brogan back, an amazing recovery from Brogan. And then Galway, slightly trickier to kind of assess what's going on with Galway. I mean, is this absolutely ideal if you're Kevin Walsh, James, and you've seen that performance against Monaghan, and, you know, it straightens everybody up for training this week? Not that necessarily you need that for an All-Ireland semi-final, but there'll be no one getting ahead of themselves, that's for sure, with this game. It's kind of hard to get a read on how Galway should be feeling or are feeling after that performance.
Yeah, it's not the type of performance you want a week before an All-Ireland semi-final.
Okay, this is a bad thing.
Absolutely. You know, I saw Damien Comer back in his full-back line, giving out and roaring. And I suppose you could look into it that, yeah, they're qualified already. But I'd be a little bit concerned about Galway's performance, I have to say. I thought there was a lack of ambition there to do anything. For me, the way I'd approach that game is, you know, you want to keep momentum. You want to keep winning. You want to keep developing and building performance on performance and building phases of performance all the time. So to have such a poor performance, you know, 5 points with a very strong breeze and 3 points in the second half.
Yeah.
To have that level of performance with pretty much your team that's going to be out the next week. I don't know. There's a lot to there's a lot to go through and a lot for a manager to try and players to get right in a week. So I think it's far from ideal for Galway, and then particularly that it's Dublin that they're facing.
Well, yeah, and I guess Walsh is going to be conscious of tiredness as well. I mean, you can't flog them this week on the training ground trying to put things right. I was interested to see what he would say about it, Dara Walsh, that is. And his assessment of the game to a point was, well, look, we all know how much a wounded animal can fight for his life, this being Monaghan he's talking about, and maybe we just weren't as wounded as we'd like to be coming into this game. There are lessons to be learned, and it's good for the team going forward. I guess to kind of build on James' point, that's the kind of thing, you know, it's lessons learned and it's good for the team going forward. That's the kind of sentence you want to hear in February in the league, not really a few days out from Dublin.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the right things to say, but it's, you know, there's a sense that, you know, there has to be a bit more behind this. Either this is the great rope-a-dope trick, one of the great ropes of all time, or else Galway really are, you know, in a bit of bother here. And I'd say the latter. You know, I think, you know, they don't know what variation of the Dublin team, because Dublin have had the luxury of being able to try out a few players as well the last day, and they have so many options available to them now. Even they're going to be very hard to analyse over the next week or so, you know, in terms of different players. Owen O'Gara was thrown into the mix the last day, Cormac Costello and these lads.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's ideal for Galway. I really did think before last Saturday's game in Salt Hill that they were going to put up a better show. Obviously, as a Kerry man, I was hoping they would too, and you know, maybe there is a sense of revisionism going on here. You could say that should Kerry have gone after them more in Croke Park, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Would give them credit for what they've achieved so far this year, but this is no rope-a-dope trick. I think Galway are in a bit of bother here heading into the weekend.
Okay, lads, we'll be watching with interest. Thanks so much for your time, Darrow Canadia and James Horn on the line there, giving us their take on the weekend. Dan in Tralee on Eamon Fitzmaurice says, if you offered me the last 6 years when I hightailed it out of Croker on the 5th of August 2012, when Donegal spanked us in a quarter final, I would have bitten off your hand. Thanks, Eamon. Kerry Abu. That's Dan in Tralee. I think, as the lad said, and a lot of people have said, that history will judge Fitzmaurice's tenure pretty kindly, I think. We'll take a short break. Football show is on the way. We're going nowhere.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.